Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Oh, there you are. There you are. I knew you were here somewhere. Welcome to Living Hope this morning. We are so glad you're here, here in the building, joining us online, either right now with us or a little bit later. We're so glad you're here. And what we'd like to do is greet each other with greetings Christians have been using a long, long time. The Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Let's take a few moments as we enter into the presence of the Lord and just take that few moments and pray. Heavenly Father, we are so glad to be here this morning. Thank you for gathering each and every one of us here into your presence, for inviting us here, for being with us, not just in this moment, Lord, but in this last week, in the things that we've walked through, the places that we've been, the circumstances that we have faced. Lord, you have walked with us. Lord, some of them have been really great. Some of them have been maybe not so much. But we are so thankful that you are a God that we can trust, we can rely on to be with us, regardless of what it is that we are facing or going through. So be with us this morning, as you've been with us in the past, as you promise you will be with us in the future. Be with us right now as we worship you in music, as we worship you in the word, and we worship you at the table. And in all of this, we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you are interested and able, we invite you to stand with us and join us as we worship in music.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. You are good, good.
His love for me, who the sun sets.
You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Yes, I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. And Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. So come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. When you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I I want more of you. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love.
Amen. Amen. I invite you, if you would, to pray with me. Father, we are so thankful for your presence here. We thank you for the love that surrounds us, not just in this place, but everywhere we are and everywhere we go. Lord, for the love that compels us to draw closer to you, a love so sweet, a love so powerful and so rich, Lord, that we can't help but respond to it. I thank you, Lord, for your love for each of us, for me this morning. I know often we don't feel very lovable. I don't feel very lovable. And yet, Lord, that never got in the way of you not just loving us, but loving us enough to go to a cross and die for us so that we could be in right relationship with you. The depths of that love, Lord, we could never understand. But we are so very thankful this morning. Thank you again for each person here, for each home, each circumstance, each place of work that they represent, Lord, for the light of Jesus that shines through each of them everywhere that they go. Thank you, Father. And I pray, Lord, that as we continue this morning, that you would speak through everything else that is said, through your word, through the table, through the prayers that are still to be said. Lord, may your voice be the one that we hear. For all of this and so much more, Lord, we give you honor and glory and praise as we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves. Cacophony. As we are starting to find our seats again, you know, Greg back here is like trying to get me to roll along, you know, get started. But I tell you, I was enjoying listening to everybody visiting. So from up here, you can't really tell what people are saying. It just, you can tell people are visiting, and I enjoy that. Before we get any further into our doings, there's some things we want to let you know about. First, if you need to get a message to the pastor or the church staff in any way, there's a couple of ways that you can do that. The first one is there's some green cards in the back. You can write down what you need to get to the pastoral staff or to the office and drop it in the box, or you can go to livinghope.info/connect, and that connect card will send an automatic email to the pastors. And then if you are giving this morning, we can never say thank you enough for your generosity and your commitment. But if you're giving, you can do that again one of two ways. There's some envelopes back on the table next to the door, and you can fill that out, put your offering in, and drop it in the box. Or you can go to livinghope.info/give. Couple of announcements that we have. We've got our free bikes and tune-ups. This coming Saturday is August 1st, right? Is it already? It's already August on Saturday. I thought it was still May, okay? I'm still functioning like it's May. But Saturday, August 1st, will be from 9 to 11 here in the parking lot. If you know somebody that needs a bike, they do give them away. If you have one that needs a chain tightened up or something, you can bring it and they'll tune it up. And if you have a bike laying around that you thought you were going to use and you haven't used it, and it's just taking up space, or you just really feel like you want to give it to somebody that could use it, please, by all means, you're welcome to bring it anytime during the week. Leave it here and we'll make sure they get it, or bring it that Saturday morning. We also have on Saturday, August 15th, Yahweh Army is going to be feeding the people with a free lunch and worship. And it's, again, Saturday the 15th, starting at 12:30. And then this... Oh, not this, okay. Thursday, August 20th. Didn't we just have a joyful noise like this last week? Okay, again, I'm still operating like it's May. So I'm looking at this going, wait, August 20th, we already had August 20th, but that was July 20th. Anyway, Thursday, August 20th at 6:30 p.m. here at the church, we'll be having another joyful noise worship time. It's a time of worship in word, in song, and in fellowship. So I encourage you to try and make it. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to have to make a point to just be here. It's hard with my full-time job schedule, but I need to. I hear wonderful things about it. So if you've not been, make a point to come. I'll try and do my best to come too. And then a couple things at the bottom of your handouts. There's some folks that are needing prayer for some physical things that are going on. But we want to pray for safe travels right now until Wednesday, I think they come back, for Sam Burgett, for Romeo, our youth director, and for Pastor Rich. They are traveling together to Homeboy Industries in L.A. this week. So they are out there to learn about reintegration after incarceration and what that can look like in a community. So I'm sure that God is going to show them some really awesome stuff, and we just want to keep them in prayer as they are out there learning. That was a lot, wasn't it? So because that was a lot, and I could use a breath, let's stop for just a second, and we're just going to calm our minds and our breathing, and I'm just going to pray really quick. Lord, I pray that you will be with this message. Be with the words that are spoken. Be with your word that is shared, Lord, this morning. We give it all to you, and help us to hear from you what it is that you have for us to hear. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, last week, Pastor Rich wrapped up his series on freedom. And he shared with us that we can be freed for more. That was the title of his sermon, Freed for More. And he kind of went into what that meant and what that looked like. And it was a great series. I really enjoyed it. I really did. But this week I've been asking myself, though, what is more? If we've been freed for more, what is more? Is it more activity? More church attendance? More volunteering? More guilt? I think collectively we could say no. None of that is what we're freed to for more. So what is the more then? Well, that more that Jesus offers us with freedom isn't more religious activity. Because we could all be busy doing stuff at church all the time, and still there would be more to do, right? But the more is a deeper relationship with him that naturally overflows into loving others. See, being a Christian was never supposed to be about trying harder. It's always been about remaining closer. And this is why, before Jesus told his followers to go, he first encouraged them to remain. So today, I want us to just look at three simple truths, and you'll see it as we move into this. That we're to remain in Christ, we receive his power, and then we reach one person that he puts in our path. So to get started, let's look at the passage that Pastor Rich ended with last week, and that's Matthew 28, 16 to 20. It says, "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, this is what we call the Great Commission. And something I never noticed until I was preparing for today is that it begins with worship. That never caught my attention until now. It says, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. That's where it started. This great commission to go started with worship. Now, we think of worship as singing, as music. And thank you, Missy, for the way you lead our singing, the way you lead our music. I love singing and worshiping through music. But that's not all worship is it? It's part of it, but it's not all of it. But then at the end of this passage, after the disciples had worshiped, Jesus told them, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In between, Jesus tells us to go and make disciples, but he doesn't tell us to make disciples by ourselves. We're not alone in this command to make disciples. He promises his presence because God never commands what he doesn't empower. This is a picture of God's grace extended to us to be and to do whatever he asks of us, not by our own power or determination, our intelligence or our abilities, but by his presence. See, Jesus promises he'll be with us always. And if we look at John 15, 1 through 5, we find an invitation to remain. It says, I'm the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, if we look at this passage chronologically compared to the one in Matthew we just read, this encouragement about remaining actually occurs first. Before he gave the Great Commission to go and make disciples, Jesus encourages his followers to remain. Or in some versions you might have read, to abide. That's not a word we use very often. But you notice he doesn't say to work harder. He doesn't say produce more fruit or become a better branch. Instead, what we hear here is the invitation to remain, to stay connected to the vine. And too often we think Christianity is about doing more and trying harder and being better, but Jesus says it's about staying connected. And something I found interesting in this is that Jesus doesn't make fruit the goal. Again, I didn't notice this necessarily for a long time. He doesn't give us a quota for how much fruit each one of us needs to produce. He only says that to produce fruit, we have to stay connected to him. See, fruit is never the goal. Fruit is the evidence that we're connected to the vine. Now, there's this theologian named John Wesley. Maybe you've heard of him. But he called this the means of grace. It's not a way of earning God's love, but it's the way of placing ourselves where God's grace can continue changing us, making us more and more like him. And he does this transforming work through things like prayer, reading our Bibles, worship, communion, fasting. Romeo preached not too long about fasting. Acts of mercy and spending time with other followers of Jesus. We call these disciplines, and they keep us connected to the vine, connected to God. And as we stay connected, as we remain or abide, the Holy Spirit shapes us into the likeness of Jesus. It begs us to ask the question, what keeps me connected to him? Instead of what religious box do I need to check off? I think sometimes it's easier to check a box and say, well, I read my Bible. And I prayed, and I did something, you know, merciful to somebody. I did something nice. I went to church. I took communion. I fasted. I'm good. But all of those things, we can do all of those things in our own power, but it doesn't transform us unless we remain connected to the vine. Now, it's possible that some of us are thinking, well, I've tried all of this. I've done the church thing. I've read my Bible. I've done all those things, and I still don't feel connected. I still don't see fruit. I've not brought anybody to Jesus. It helps us to remember that fruit doesn't appear overnight, because healthy vines produce fruit because they stay connected over time. How many of you guys have a garden? All three of us, four of us, yeah. So you guys know my husband, Phil. Pray for him. He's been fishing with our youngest son this weekend. He's going to be coming home today, but to more work. He took a little time off, so now he's got his honey-do list when he gets home. But he put in a little garden a few years ago, and it's been small. But with the way our economy's going and the price of some of the food that we eat, we decided, maybe it was more me than we, but we decided to expand our garden and make it bigger. And to grow things that we know that we'll eat, that we won't have to spend money on, although you do spend money getting the garden going, but that's beside the point. Totally unrelated, right? But as we planted the garden, and it got planted a little late because he's a teacher and end of the school year, so we're just now, I got my first zucchini this week. I was so excited. It was so cute. It was about this big. It was so cute. Now, Phil's fish are about that big, too, just so you know. I'm just kidding. But but the thing is that when you understand that getting fruit from the things that you plant takes time, takes patience. It takes investing. You have to weed the garden. Sometimes you have to pollinate if you have only male flowers on your zucchini and your squash. Who knew, right? I learned this. Anyway, but those are the things that when you've got a healthy plant, for it will produce fruit, but you have to give it time. And it has to stay connected. You can't pick a green tomato and have it and expect it to mature into a nice ripe red tomato, right? And just as a reminder, the fruit that we're talking about, it's not tomatoes and zucchini and squash, although those are delicious. But the fruit that we're talking about includes what's called the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's not in your handout. I apologize. I added it later. But in Galatians 5, it tells us what that fruit is. You've probably heard this. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Additionally, if we're remaining in Jesus, the fruit we will see will come from making disciples. So as we are living out this fruit of the Spirit, as we are connected to the vine and exhibiting the love of Jesus through these things, then the actual overflow will be producing disciples in our lives. As we introduce others to Jesus so that they too can be connected to the vine. And if we're not seeing fruit in our lives, whether it's the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of discipleship, if we're feeling disconnected, it's possible we're trying to do this under our own strength or our own willpower or our own determination. And if we look at the vine and branch example, the branch doesn't have any power to grow on its own. If you cut a branch off of a tree or a branch off of a vine, it dies. The branch cannot grow on its own. It has to stay connected to the vine. And the power to grow and produce fruit comes from that vine. And in the same way, as we're connected to Jesus, as we remain in him, we receive power to live and to grow and to produce. In fact, in Acts 1, Jesus tells his followers this. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, we don't receive this power to impress people. We don't receive power to control people. We receive power to be witnesses to the truth of who Jesus is and what he came to do. Now, if you've been around the church for a few minutes, and I have, maybe more than a few, you might remember being told that you needed to witness to people, which is a colloquialism for telling people about Jesus in such a way that they come to know him as their Savior. Maybe you've heard it called evangelism, okay? Somehow this should have been happening daily, or at least that was what I thought based on what I heard, not necessarily what was said, but what I heard as a kid growing up in the church. Now, I've since learned that while this can happen, the idea in this verse is that witnessing is less something we do and more something we are. Yes, we tell people our experiences of knowing and following Jesus and the change that he's made in our lives as we're living into and out of that change. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to be witnesses, to make disciples. See, we can't do it. Only the Holy Spirit can, as we remain in the vine, as we remain connected to God and allow God, the Holy Spirit, to transform and to grow us. Now, I don't know about you, but I have found in the past, growing up, that the thought of being a witness or evangelizing or winning people or getting people saved, however you wanted to call it, and it's been different things as I've grown up, it was intimidating. I had this picture of going door to door and knocking on the door. No way. I wouldn't even sell stuff that way, let alone try and witness to people. It was intimidating, because what if I'm telling someone about Jesus and they laugh at me, or they think I'm faking or I'm lying? What if they see through me to the deepest parts of me and see the real me and think I'm a fraud? I've literally thought all of these things at different times in my life. But as I have grown in faith and in my relationship with Jesus, remaining in him, I've learned some things. And that's good. It's good that I've learned some things. A couple of things I've learned is that I don't have a quota to fill in introducing people to Jesus. I want as many people as possible to know him, to be redeemed by him, to be transformed by him. But there is no set number out there that if I don't meet it, I fail. Same for you. Same for all of us. See, the assignment, if you will, is to make disciples. Again, I had a wrong impression of what this meant for so long. I thought I had to first get people saved, right? And then I had to systematically walk through a discipleship program, and they're out there. They're out there. You know, here's this book, and you walk through all these scriptures, and you teach them all these things. And yes, we do need to do that with people, but it's not a program, okay? And doing that would get them grounded in their relationship with Jesus, and then they're released into the wild, so to speak, to go and make disciples for themselves, of their own. And what I've learned is that discipleship is very much less about doing that than it is about just being in relationship with people. And that the follower of Jesus can disciple people to salvation, not just after salvation. That, for me, that was a revolutionary concept for me. That I can actually get to know people who don't know Jesus. Shocking, I know. And in that relationship with them, I can disciple them to knowing Jesus. What a radical concept that was for me. That discipleship doesn't just happen after somebody comes to know Jesus. It starts when you first meet them. And in learning that, as I am continuously being transformed to be more like Jesus, as I am in relationship with people that need to know Jesus, as I tell people what he is doing in my life to transform me, and I live a life connected to the vine, producing fruit, I am discipling. It might not feel like I am, and it might take a long time before a person decides to follow Jesus as a result of hearing my story and watching my life. But it'll happen. Now, as many of you know, Phil and I host exchange students. We've been hosting since the late 1900s. I love saying that, especially to young folks, because they're like, that's a long time ago. No, it's not. It's not that long. Yeah, but we started actually in 1997, 29 years ago, we started hosting exchange students. And I'm not going to tell you how old I was, because then you'll do the math and you'll know how old I am now. But early on in that hosting experience, we realized, Phil and I realized, that we had the potential to impact students' lives for Jesus in a way that was unique in this hosting relationship. We talked about God stuff. They came to church with us. Some of them were okay with it. Some of them didn't like it very much. But you live in our family, we go to church, you go to church. Whether you pay attention is on you, but you go with us, you know. But we talked about God stuff. We talked about church stuff. We talked about the ways God was helping us. And we talked about it in a way that was just who we were. We weren't trying to convert them. That wasn't the goal. We just existed this way. And we showed love and care for them, even the more difficult ones. And there was only a couple, honestly. But we embraced them as part of our family, and we've stayed in touch with many of them over the years. One of those students was a boy named Samuel, and he was from France. He was a great kid, and we loved him early on. He was in our home during the 2000-2001 school year, so it's been a hot minute. And we've kept up with him off and on all this time. He's even come back and visited us. Well, this week, I got a message from Samuel. He wanted to let me know that he'd been baptized earlier this month. And our witness as a family, along with that of the church that we attended and the Christian school where he went, all worked together to bring him to a place where he accepted the gift of salvation and made his relationship with Jesus public through baptism. I know, it's awesome. It's awesome. The most notable thing about this story for me, though, is that this is 26 years after he was in our home. All this time, God had been working on Samuel, drawing him to himself, and Samuel answered. Now, I know he's not the only one of our students that came to know Jesus, in part because of the witness of our family and our church. But I do know that if he was the only one, the dozens and dozens of students that we have had in our home would be worth it, so that Samuel would know Jesus, just that one. In Luke 15, 3-7, Jesus gives us an example of this. He says, so Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, because I found my lost sheep. In the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. In this short parable, Jesus leaves the 99 sheep to go find the one. Not because the 99 didn't matter, because everyone matters. But in this story, we see God's heart for the one. He sees all of us. He sees all of us, all at the same time. But he notices the one. He pursues the one. He rejoices over the one. And often we measure success by numbers. Jesus measures it by people. So some of the questions that we might ask ourselves today is, are you connected to and remaining in the vine? Are you producing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit as well as the fruit of discipleship? And is there one in your life that God is seeking that you can come alongside of, in relationship with, and introduce them to Jesus? John Wesley, this guy again, he's quoted as saying, the world is my parish. Now, that wasn't about preaching everywhere, although John Wesley got around when he preached, but that wasn't what he was talking about. It's about believing that every person is someone that God loves, that God is seeking, and that God wants them to know him. So this is your challenge. I almost made it your homework, but I thought challenge would be a little better. It wouldn't seem so much like school. This is our challenge. Think of one person. Right now, if you have to close your eyes to picture their face or whatever, think of one person. Someone who's already a part of your life that doesn't know and follow Jesus. And as you remain in Jesus, commit to doing these things. Pray for them. Every day. Multiple times a day, even. Care for them intentionally. Not a general feeling of, oh, I care about them. Be intentional with your care for them. This one's harder. Listen to their story. Hear who they are, not just what they say. And then invite them. When the time is right and the Holy Spirit has done the work in them that brings them to Him, notice the Holy Spirit does the work, not us, right? We're just praying for them and caring for them and listening to them. And the Holy Spirit does the work of drawing them to Him and then invite them. Invite them to know Jesus. Invite them to be in relationship with Him. Jesus says, remain in me. Jesus says, I am with you always. Jesus says, you will receive power. Jesus says, there's joy over one who comes home. Can you see the progression in that? Remain, I am with you, you'll receive power, there's joy over the one. We remain, we receive, we reach one person at a time. So this week, I encourage you, stay connected to the vine. Remain in the vine. Walk in the Spirit's power and ask one simple prayer every morning. Jesus, who is my one? I invite you to pray with me. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, for the message that you've given to us. Lord, I know I've said before, and today is no different, but I preach to myself before I preach to anybody else. Your word is for me as much as it is for anyone else. I ask, Lord, today that you would speak to us, that you would bring that one to mind for us, that you would draw us to you, that you would encourage us to remain in you, to stay connected to you through whatever means is meaningful for us. Give us a desire, Lord, to read our Bibles, to pray, to be in fellowship with others, to be in your house, to worship you, Lord. And then empower us to not just be your disciples, but to disciple others, Lord. Disciple them to know you, to follow you, Lord, to be connected to you. And Lord, as we gather at the table that you've prepared for us, remind us that on the night you were betrayed, you took bread and you gave thanks to God for it and broke it into pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Lord, you took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it." Father, bless the elements of communion today. Remind us of the sacrifice that you made so that we can know redemption, we can know forgiveness, we can know right relationship with you. And in all of this, Lord, we again praise you as we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. As the musicians come back up to pray, to play for us and lead us again in worship, I'll be standing down here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. You're welcome to come forward and take a piece of bread and dip it in the juice and then take and eat it. There's regular bread and there's some gluten-free wafers. There's also some individual cups if you want to come forward and take those and go back to your seat. Or there are some individual cups on the back. You might have already taken those. We don't want there to be any barriers to people being able to come to the table of the Lord this morning. So as Missy and the rest of the folks sing.
Come say our Father.
Oh, that's right. She reminded me. Will you join me in praying the Lord's Prayer as we prepare to receive communion? Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So as they play, I will step down here and you are invited to come and partake at the Lord's table.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And all it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it, and still you give yourself away. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I fell nowhere, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. And you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up. After me, and all the overwhelming. leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Nor the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Lord, we are so thankful for that reckless love, the overwhelming love. I thank you, Lord, that you have made a way for us to be connected to you. You've made a way for us to remain in you. And Lord, that you have shown that that's your desire for us. That through us remaining in you, Lord, you can do great things. You can do little things. But Lord, it's through your Holy Spirit and the power that you give us through your Holy Spirit that allows us, Lord, allows us to be fruitful, allows us to do the things that you would have us to do, be the people you would have us to be. Lord, we are so thankful this morning. Lord, I pray that you would go with us from this place, each of us, as we go to work, as we go home, as we go into our communities, Lord, wherever it is we find ourselves. May the fruit of your Spirit in our lives be evident to those around us. Empower us, Lord, to be disciplers to those around us. We thank you, we praise you, and give you all the glory. Amen and amen. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.